And God is love. And this is your host for the next hour, Ken Johnston, and welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's great to be with you, especially this first show for me, second hour in this new year in 2018. So I want to wish a happy and healthy new year to all of our listeners, and especially our benefactors. And thank you and praise God for all that you do for us here, both your prayerful support as well as your financial support that's allowed us to be on the air for over 40 years now, the oldest Catholic radio apostolate. So today I'm going to be joined by Maria Gallagher. Maria serves as the Legislative and Political Action Committee Director for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, the state affiliate of National Right to Life. Prior to her work with the Federation, Maria worked as a legislative associate with Ohio Right to Life. And before joining the pro-life cause, Maria served as State House correspondent for a public radio and television network, a producer for a CBS TV news affiliate, and as a reporter for a public radio station. Her freelance radio reports have been heard on national news outlets, including CBS Radio, AP Radio, and National Public Radio. Also received a number of awards from the Ohio Associated Press, the Press Club of Cleveland, and the Society of Professional Journalists, and has written an e-book, A Pro-Life Guide to the Media, and has served as a freelance writer for numerous websites and publications, including LifeSite News and Our Sunday Visitor. Maria is also the proud mother of one, and it says here, vivacious and talented daughter, Gabriella. And she's also an active member of her parish and of the worldwide Curcio movement. So, De Coloris, Maria, welcome to the show.
De Coloris, it's good to be here.
Yeah. I read your bio a little while ago, and I made my Curcio weekend a number of years ago. And unfortunately, just because of the way God has moved me on my path, have not been able to keep up with my fellow Curcioistas. I got a couple of them that I'm in touch with, and I know how they're doing, but because of a couple other ministries I'm involved in, as a direct result of at one time being an active Curcioista, that I don't get to spend the time there like I used to. But a wonderful movement for, and we could probably talk a little bit about that as well as the hour progresses. But the main reason that we brought Maria in is some of the writings that we picked up on LifeSiteNews.com in the abortion arena, and talking to Maria just before the show, and trying to gather exactly what we wanted to talk about. She mentioned that the latest statistics are out on the number of abortions, and in particular in the state of Pennsylvania. So we thought maybe we'd start there. Right, Maria?
Yes, we are very encouraged by the statistics that were just released by the Pennsylvania Department of Health last week. And they show that we have the lowest number of abortions on record in Pennsylvania. We had 30,881 abortions in 2016. Of course, every abortion is a tragedy because it's the taking of an innocent human life. But certainly the fact that abortions are on a downward trajectory is very good news for Pennsylvania women and their children. And it's interesting that we live in these times when there are so many challenges to life, and yet so many courageous women are saying yes to life in our state. And that certainly is a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. And while these women are certainly courageous to choose life, especially when the circumstances might be dire, I think it's also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but would be a credit to all those that have fought for so long to help these women. And whether it's your prayerful presence outside an abortion clinic, to the crisis pregnancy centers that have popped up, to the I know just in my own neighborhood, a couple of homes that have been opened by people very active in the pro-life movement for unwed mothers, to give them a safe place to have their children and actually raise them. So I agree. I'm ecstatic to hear the number. What was just out of curiosity, what would the peak number be? Do you know offhand?
Well, the peak was actually before the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act went into effect. That went into effect in 1994, and once that was passed and enacted, the abortion rate was cut in half. So we're talking about the high level of abortions in Pennsylvania were in the 1980s and early 1990s, and then they really dropped. And that's because with the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act, you had a number of key provisions. For instance, you have informed consent, meaning that a woman must be told the risks of abortion and alternatives to abortion before an abortion can take place. You have parental consent, meaning that one parent must give permission before a teenage girl can have an abortion. And you have a 24-hour waiting period for abortions. And so those factors were really key in bringing the abortions down. A lot of people don't realize the effect that laws do have on abortion in particular. Pro-life laws do result in lives being saved and in hearts being changed. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And then there are so many other elements of the pro-life movement that have helped to bring the abortion numbers down. We have the 40 Days for Life campaigns in front of abortion centers where people are praying and offering alternatives to abortion to women. That certainly has helped. Abortion centers shutting down has certainly aided in bringing the numbers down. We have so many people who are praying for an end to Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion for any reason or no reason all across America. We have the pro-life health centers, the pregnancy resource centers, which provide everything from diapers to daycare referrals to women. They provide comprehensive counseling and support, and they really stand in the gap. If a woman does not have the support of her friends or family or her partner, that pregnancy help center volunteer or staff member can really serve as her guide and help her through pregnancy and even in the years after pregnancy. So all of those things have contributed to the lowering of our abortion numbers in Pennsylvania. And I think we've reached a real milestone in that the numbers are so much lower than they were in the 1980s. And it's still an astounding number. I mean, I always have a lump in my throat when I talk about more than 30,000 children losing their lives to abortion each year. It's horrible. But the fact that we have been able to bring those numbers down shows that we are headed in the right direction.
Now, and I couldn't agree more. And I was actually listening to another radio show, and this was probably a couple of weeks ago, about somebody who had been involved in the pro-life movement. And, you know, we're coming up on the 45th anniversary this month of Roe v. Wade, and this individual actually called in and said that he was giving up after 45 years, that, you know, the laws haven't been changed. It doesn't look like they'll ever be changed. And yet what I'm hearing from you today is just the opposite. While, you know, abortion has not been eradicated, and I don't know that it ever will be completely done away with, but to see the numbers drastically reduced over the years. And I don't know how much of that is because the pregnancy rates are lower, but definitely any reduction in the number of abortions is critical. And I often talk about it in my own ministry and as a result of some of the things that went on in my own life about that are involved with abortion. And it's not just the murder of a child, that there's so much more to it that nobody talks about, or I shouldn't say nobody, but few people talk about. And that's the long-term impact and the impact that it has on a woman who makes a decision to have an abortion and the effects that it has on her later in life. I often deal with women who abortion is part of their past, who have turned to alcohol and drugs and other forms of addiction in order to deal with what they've done, because sooner or later you have to reconcile with what's been done. And it's not just the women. I find more and more now with men that end up in the world of addiction, and abortion will often be a part of their past, whether it was a one-night stand or they thought they were in a serious relationship and it really wasn't, and or there was an unplanned pregnancy that they wanted nothing to do with and would force a woman to have an abortion. And I think just like women, that sooner or later it catches up with us men, and we have to come to grips with it. And so to be able to reduce the numbers, it not only means that the child is being born, but it also means that the mother and potentially the father of that child may not have to go through what a lot of us have gone through as a result of having an abortion in their life.
Oh, very definitely. I think that when you are able to save the life of a child, you're saving the mother, you're saving the father, and you may be saving an entire family. I remember one time we were in the office one day, and a woman called, and she said, "I just need to thank somebody." And the reason why was that she had driven with her boyfriend to an abortion center in Harrisburg to have an abortion. And the whole time she's in the car, she's praying that God would give her a sign not to go through with the abortion. And when she got to the abortion center, she saw this crowd of people praying outside. And she thought that that might be her sign. So she called in to the abortion center and she said, "Well, there are people outside. I don't know what to do." And the staff member said, "Oh, those are just a bunch of religious zealots. Go ahead, come on in." Well, she started crying and she started talking to her boyfriend. And because of the people praying outside and because of the support of her boyfriend, she decided to turn around and not go through with the abortion. And she sent us a picture, and the picture showed not only her son, Christian, who was saved that day, but his brother, Jonah, who came along after that, after she and her boyfriend got married. So there's a whole family there that was saved that day. And that just shows the power of prayer and of presence and support. And we know from statistics, we know from research, that 80% of women who have had abortions and who have regretted them have said if there had just been one person to provide support, they would not have gone through with the abortion, just one person. Mm. And each one of us can be that person. Doesn't necessarily take a lot. Sometimes it just takes a listening ear.
Sure. And that's why I'm glad you mentioned this story, because when you hear that the numbers are way down, it doesn't mean that it's time to rest on our laurels. That, as you mentioned, there's still over 30,000 that were done here in Pennsylvania in 2016. So, we need to continue to be that presence outside of the clinic. We need to continue to help support those organizations, including the right to, Pennsylvania Pro-Life, and those other ministries that are out there that, like you said, support these women, because it's one thing to be against abortion and try to pray it away, but to be able to provide some support, whether it's to be to stand outside Planned Parenthood with a rosary in your hand, or provide financial support to these organizations that are on the front lines, because a lot of us don't have the time or not equipped to do that kind of work. But to allow others to do it, just like folks allow us to have this radio apostolate, to put your money into good causes and help save a life.
Oh, very definitely. Yeah. And, it takes all of us working together. I think that in the times in which we live, we're all called to do something for the pro-life cause.
Sure.
And it depends upon your time and your talent and your resources. And some of us don't have any time to spare, so we donate to pro-life organizations that can do the work for us, that can stand in the gap for those women and their babies. Some of us have tremendous talents, whether it be writing talents or arts and craft talents, You know, I know people who make little hats for newborn babies. I know people who make baby blankets. I know people who write letters to the editor. And whatever your talent is, we can use it in the pro-life movement. And it also does not depend upon your age. I know pro-lifers who are very active who are less than 10 years old, and I know pro-lifers who are active who are over the age of 90, and we welcome them all, and they all provide great loving service to women and their babies and their families.
So no excuses, folks. Everybody can do their part. And what for somebody that may be listening, saying how do I get active? I know one way is the Pro Life March, which is coming up on January the 19th, and a lot of parishes in the local area here, we're just outside Philadelphia. But my own local parish, St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, we have a bus that we still have seats available. But a lot of the parishes in the area will be sending buses down for the Pro-Life March. That's one way to get involved. Where would someone look or call in order to help?
Well, certainly. If you are looking for a bus to the March for Life, just contact us at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. You can do so via our website at www.paprolife.org. That's www.paprolife.org. Or you can call us at 717-541-0034. That's 717-541-0034. And we keep what we believe is the most comprehensive list of buses going to the March for Life in Pennsylvania. So wherever you are in the state, wherever you're listening, we can see if we can find a bus for you.
Very good. And what about somebody that can't make that day but wants to get plugged into the pro-life movement? Any suggestions there?
Certainly. You can, again, go to our website, and we have individual chapters around the state. And those chapters do all sorts of things within their local communities. They may have tables, education tables, at local fairs and festivals. They may do outreach to pregnancy resource centers and hold baby showers for the centers so that they can provide diapers and bottles and maternity clothes and baby clothes and all sorts of things that those centers need. We have chapters that do breakfast where they bring in an educational speaker. We have chapters that do dinners where they bring in individuals who are very distinguished and who are very involved in the pro-life movement, who can educate you about the latest news in pro-life. So it's very good if you can get connected to a local chapter of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. And we have a wonderful woman who works out of her home in Philadelphia, Carla Ezell, and she's our Southeast Regional Coordinator. And that's her job, to reach out to people in southeastern Pennsylvania and to plug them in to chapters where their talents can be used.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, again, the 45th, it's the 45th, right? Anniversary
it
coming
is,
up.
Yes.
In just a couple of days. I actually pulled up the weather app on my phone, and I think this weather's supposed to break relatively soon. But
I hope so.
Yeah. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, at least here in Philadelphia area, it's going to be in the 40s. So hopefully it'll be a little bit nicer. If not, we can do penance and march at the same time. And always one of the greatest experiences. I don't know why it took me so long to start going. I've probably only been going for the last 6 or 7 years. And the one thing that always touches me when I go now is both the number of young people that are there, and maybe some of them are going just because they get the day out of school, but it, as well as the number of young religious, especially those that show up in their clerical garb, whether it's nuns in their habits or priests in their vestments. There's always a whole bunch of young Dominicans who kind of stand out because of the garb they wear. But it gives you so much hope to go, not only on the abortion front, but just to see how many people were involved in that day, and especially the young people and the young religious. So it not only gives you hope as far as bringing an end to an abortion, but it also, for at least for me, is a reminder of how alive our church is, and that it, you know, while many say that the Catholic Church is on its way out, to see all these young folks and young religious, it really relieves a lot of those worries for me.
Oh, definitely. And you know, part of the March for Life is, of course, the commemoration of the lives that have been lost to abortion and the families that have been hurt by abortion. But the other part of it is a celebration of life, and I think that's what you see at the March for Life. Mm-hmm. We have said in the past that probably more than half of the marchers are under the age of 30. It's phenomenal to see all those high school students and college students who are stepping up and marching on behalf of those who cannot march. And I think that it's an inspiring event, and it really enables you to see the breadth of the pro-life movement, to see hundreds of thousands of people getting together, marching through the streets of Washington, D.C., very peaceful, very prayerful. You'll hear people pray as they march along. You'll hear people sing hymns. It's a truly spectacular event. And the fact that after all these years, people are still marching, that shows you the strength of the pro-life movement.
Absolutely. Before we're going to go take a break in about 5 minutes, and I'm not sure where you wanted to go next as far as topics go. I know that the main reason, or one of the reasons that Harry had gotten in touch with you back in October was around an article you had written for LifeSite News about the Guznell movie that's coming out. So that was a couple of months ago. The movie still hasn't come out, and I think in the article it said that they couldn't find anybody that was willing to really put it out. Has there been any updates on the front of this movie?
Well, there is still hope that the movie will be released as early as April, but they have run into difficulty finding a distributor because the subject matter is so controversial. It's not that it isn't a good movie, because it is an exceptionally good movie. It's very high quality, and they have very accomplished seasoned actors who are part of the movie. But it all involves the controversy surrounding abortion, and a lot of Hollywood doesn't want to touch it. But there is still an expectation that it can be released nationwide. And I happened to see a preview of the movie in Bucks County, and it was a phenomenal experience. And I don't want to give anything away, but it is the story of Kermit Guznell, the abortionist who was a serial killer. He was suspected of killing hundreds of full-term babies. They could only bring a handful of charges against him because he destroyed so many records. He's in jail now, serving consecutive life sentences, not only for the murders of three babies, but also because he caused the death of a female immigrant patient, Karnamaya Mungar, from Nepal. And it's the story of how he was brought to justice. And the gentleman who plays Kermit Guznell is astounding in his portrayal. He just seems like the embodiment of Kermit Guznell. It's just incredible. And I've never been to a movie before, and I love the movies, but I've never been to one before where I could hear people openly sobbing the way I did at the Guznell movie. There were people who were just overcome by emotion during the movie. It's not a gory movie. It's not a horror movie. It's very tastefully done. But it is a very moving story of how these precious babies were slaughtered by Guznell snipping their spinal cords in an act of infanticide. And to see the effect of that on the people who investigated the crime, the people who prosecuted the crime, it's a really moving experience.
Wow. The title of the movie is Gosnell, America's Biggest Serial Killer. If you want to keep up to date on what's going on, they have a Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/GosnellMovie, G-O-S-N-E-L-L movie, and you can also follow it on Twitter. It'll probably keep you updated on what's going on and when and where it'll be showing once it's released. But like you said, you saw it in Bucks County. We're just outside Philadelphia here, so when that story hit the news, it was, while in some ways unbelievable, in other ways, I think we kind of knew these things were going on. And, you know, but just how grossly negligent this was. And like you said, he's a serial killer. I mean, these are babies that were in a lot of cases full term. And the kind of cases that he would take that other places wouldn't. And, you know, one of the hardest things for me after it happened, and I know somebody that was involved in trying to get down there because a number of the fetuses or the number of children were still there, that they were trying to get them in order to give them a proper burial and were being denied. And I don't know what the final outcome or the final disposition of that was.
They were able to have them buried ultimately, thank goodness. And there was a ceremony at the time, and I also had an opportunity to attend that. And that was a very emotional situation. And, you know, we credit the people who were pushing so hard to ensure that those babies did get a proper burial, because they deserve that.
Absolutely. Anyway, we're just about at the bottom of the hour, Maria, so we're going to take a short break. I'm going to give out the phone numbers. If you have any questions, comments, you want to join in the conversation, you can reach us here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or maybe you're listening over the Internet or via your smartphone or some other way over the Internet, and you're listening from a distance. You can get us at 888-343-2484. That's 888-34-FAITH. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, for the next 27 minutes or so. And before we go back to Maria, I just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, those that have joined us today, and those that may be listening via podcast later. We just thank you for all your prayerful support and your financial support that keeps us on the air here and doing the wonderful work that we think God would have us do in order to spread God's word in many different ways and on many different topics. And today we're talking to Maria Gallagher from the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and talking about in the first segment we talked about the statistics, and those for 2016 have just been released and are down once again and continuing in this downward trend, but the work's not done yet. So if you're already involved in the pro-life movement, we thank God for you, and we keep doing what you're doing. For those that aren't, maybe in 2018 and you're looking for a way to get involved in your parish or in the region, or maybe in the state, you know, to look up the Pennsylvania Pro-Life organization at paprolife.org, and they can direct you in the right ways. I know in my own parish we have a pro-life group there, as well as I think most parishes would have that as well these days. Also, I was just talking to our engineer Frank over the break, and talking about how interesting the topic was, and he was talking about friends of his that would go to the one friend in particular that would go and pray outside of Gosnell's I don't know, butcher shop, whatever you want to call it, certainly not the health clinic, but he would pray outside of there. And also mentioned, and I know my good friend Fran Rafferty, I don't know if he's listening or not, he's involved in it, the group that goes down to Planned Parenthood on Locust Street. They get together on the third Saturday of each month with Mass at St. John the Evangelist Church down there on, I think it's on 12th Street or 13th Street between Market and Chestnut. They gather there for Mass, I believe it's at 7:30, and then walk together down to Planned Parenthood, where they pray for a while and would come back. I think they come back to St. John's for benediction after. But in any event, he's been talking about how the numbers for that have dropped off a little bit. So if you're not doing anything on the third Saturday of the month, think about heading down to St. John the Evangelist for Mass first. And then it's always good to go in a group, especially your first time around. You don't have to know everything. Just show up and follow their lead. So, before we went to the break, then we were talking about the Gosnell movie that may or may not come out. We're hoping it does, just because of the impact it can have on abortion in general. But to really see the horrors, as Maria rightly points out, I haven't seen the movie, but points out it's really not a horror movie, but a story of what went down once they learned about what Kermit Gosnell was up to and how they brought him to justice. Anything else on Kermit before we move on, Maria?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that I wanted to mention.
Sure.
One was the fact that the movie is actually based on a book that was written by the producers of the film, who are journalists of long standing. And if you have a chance, get a hold of that book, because it's just incredible, the detail that they have. They even conducted an interview with Gosnell in prison, which was very enlightening. So I highly recommend the book as well as the movie. And another thing I wanted to mention was the fact that once Gosnell's alleged crimes came to light, then Governor Tom Corbett took decisive action, and he decided that these abortion centers would have to undergo yearly inspections. Prior to that, abortion facilities in Pennsylvania, believe it or not, had not been inspected for 15 years by state officials. 15 years. Now imagine if you were going to a restaurant that hadn't been inspected in 15 years. Would you trust them to be a safe establishment? I don't think so. And yet these abortion facilities were able to operate carte blanche without the state looking at their activities. And it was just mind-boggling. Thank heavens the governor took some action on that. And then after that, the state legislature came on board, and they enacted a law which toughened up abortion center regulations in Pennsylvania. And that law requires those yearly inspections. And once that law went on the books, five abortion centers closed their doors because they either could not or would not meet basic health and safety standards. These are the types of standards that you would find at any outpatient surgery center. And these abortion facilities just couldn't cut it. So thank heavens those abortion facilities are no more. They've been closed down. And we had a case in Harrisburg where we had our own version of Kermit Gosnell at the local abortion facility. It had been in operation for decades. It was called the Hillcrest Women's Medical Center. And one day, an inspector came in, and they couldn't believe what they found there, and their report was 44 pages long, 44 pages of health and safety violations. Everything from the doctor not having proper credentials to the staff members not undergoing criminal background checks, which are required when you're working with young people, to the fact that drugs were left out in the open so that anybody could get a hold of them. They weren't under lock and key. Unsterilized instruments were being used. I mean, it was just atrocious. Mm-hmm. And yet this went on for some time. And even after these violations came out, the facility was permitted to continue operating for months until they corrected the violations, until we had three courageous state senators who wrote a letter to the Department of Health and said, why on earth is this abortion facility able to continue to operate under these conditions? So finally, after that letter was written, the Department of Health said, okay, you're not going to operate right now until you come up to code. And what happened was that the abortion facility decided they would rather give up their license to do abortions than come up to code. So that abortion facility was shut down this past year.
And I know at least in one other article I saw, and you mentioned Bucks County earlier, and one of the few Planned Parenthoods that I've been to stand outside and pray was the one in Warminster that had a case, I guess, where somebody needed to be rushed to an emergency room soon after their abortion because of hemorrhaging that was going on, and weren't taken care of correctly at Warminster. And as you mentioned, it was found in the report, but that or was unreported that they came across. But how many other cases are out there that we don't know about that goes on? And I think that's one of the things that another thing that's often not discussed is the safety that goes on. I think because folks know that there's been millions of them that we assume that they're safe, and it's still a surgical procedure and requires you know, all the same things that and there are same requirements that any hospital or surgical facility should undergo should be applied to them as well.
It was interesting with the Warminster facility that Planned Parenthood, because there were so many safety violations that were uncovered there, and yet it was a facility that was praised by the governor as being some sort of state-of-the-art center, and yet it had all these problems. Mm. And that's what you get with these abortion facilities. And thankfully, those problems are finally coming to light, but good golly, how many women have been forced to suffer in silence when no one did anything about it?
Right.
With Gosnell, for instance, there were 45 lawsuits that were filed against him, and yet the Department of State did not take his medical license away. 45
wow.
malpractice lawsuits.
Right.
Now, would you go to a doctor who had that kind of record?
Yeah.
It's just outrageous. And the state authorities just were not doing their jobs. And they were complicit in this horrible, horrible situation. And also, the abortion industry itself knew about problems at Gosnell's facility. And yet, the abortion industry insiders did not report those problems to authorities. They let them go. And how many precious lives could have been saved if someone had just been courageous enough to speak up?
Absolutely. Wow. One of the things you just mentioned, Maria, was the movie that was based on the book. And I was able to pull it up. That book is Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. Came out in January of 2017, so almost a year ago. And I see it's available on Amazon. You can get it in both hardcover and Kindle. So you can download it tonight and start reading if you'd like. But it sounds like a wonderful story is the wrong word, but a gripping story about what actually went on. Right here, at least for a lot of us that are listening today, right here in our own backyard in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's frightening to think that such horrors could go on so close to where we live and work. It's just amazing. But that's because the abortion industry is shrouded in secrecy.
Mm.
And they're allowed to often operate under the radar. And state officials are not always conscientious about ensuring that these facilities follow basic health and safety standards.
Very well. One of the things that I've done with a number of folks that have come on the air and is try to learn a little bit more about themselves and how they ended up where they ended up. And you, it's not like I have to pry it from you, because I found an article from August of last year where you actually wrote a little bit about your story and about your mother and the hero that she was and the hero that so many of our mothers are. Over the weekend, I have two young grandchildren, 2 and 8 months, I guess Parker is, and my daughter asked us if we would take the kids overnight on New Year's Eve. And it's the first time in a long, long time that I got up through the night with a baby. And God bless all those mothers out there that continue to do it. And I know now why you have babies when you're young, because when you start getting up there, Monday was not one of the most pleasant days in my life, trying to recuperate from the 1 a.m. bottle feeding and the 6 a.m. getting up with the kids. So God bless all the mothers, but in particular, your own mother and the difficulties that she went through when it came time for her to have a baby.
Yes, my mother was definitely a hero for me. At the time that my mother became pregnant, my father was out of work. And it so happened my mother was working. She was a medical secretary. But unfortunately, she was let go because she was pregnant. In those days, they could get away with things like that. And so my parents faced dire financial circumstances. It was very frightening. And yet my mother courageously carried that pregnancy to term. And here I am. And unfortunately, my mother has passed away. But every day when I work in the pro-life movement, it's a tribute to my mother and my father and the legacy they left for me to fight for the most vulnerable. And they just were such loving, caring, compassionate people, and they just really loved children. They just really loved children, and my mother always said that moment when the baby was placed in her arms, I mean, she felt as if she had been given the world's greatest gift. Mm. And ironically, my mother went into labor and couldn't get to the hospital in time. So they called up the doctor, and my father talked with the doctor, and my father actually delivered me, even though he had no medical training. Now, he was a veteran, mm-hmm. so he had military training, but no medical training. But my father actually delivered me at home, and it was a miracle. I mean, my life is a miracle, and I have both of my parents to thank for that.
How awesome is that? And I don't think it's like you lived in the wild, wild west or out in the middle of nowhere where there were no facilities. It just happened to happen that way.
Yeah.
And how awesome is that? And then it sounds like you went on to get involved maybe in public radio and I guess what people would call today the fake media.
Yes, actually, what happened was that I went to college and I felt like I had a calling for journalism. So I studied journalism in college at Ohio State University in undergrad and then in graduate school at Northwestern University. And so I started out working at a campus radio station at Ohio State, which was a public radio station. And I really didn't know about the politics behind public broadcasting or anything about media bias at that point. I was just a young person interested in covering issues. And so I worked in both public broadcasting and commercial broadcasting as a TV producer. And I thought that I was trying to be fair-minded in my reports and that I was trying to do good through my reporting and through my productions. But at some point, a friend asked me, well, what are you doing for the pro-life movement? And I said, well, I can't do anything because I'm a journalist and we're not permitted to get involved in the pro-life movement. I actually had a professor who told me, if you go out on a pro-life march, you will be fired from your employer. So I thought I could do nothing. But I started to think about that question, about what am I doing? And it really tugged at my heart. And I decided maybe there was something that I could do. Well, first I had to educate myself because, unfortunately, even though I was a working journalist and I covered abortion all the time, I really didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know about the development of the unborn child. I didn't know that a heart can start beating at 24 days after conception, or that brain waves can be detected 43 days after conception. I didn't know that at 6 weeks, an unborn child looks like a miniature doll with arms and legs and fingers and toes. I didn't know any of that. I was very ignorant. So I sought out pro-life sources, which gave me this information that I hadn't had access to before. And as a result of that, I decided to take part in a vigil of prayer at a local Planned Parenthood. And as I prayed there, I was just moved by what must be going on inside that Planned Parenthood, as I had never been moved before. And that led me to become a pro-life coordinator at my local parish, and ultimately I worked full-time in the pro-life movement. But it was a very gradual process, and it was just the more that I became educated, the more I felt called to be involved in this. And I just focused on that child, that helpless child, who had no one to speak for him or her. And I wanted to be the spokesperson. I wanted to stand in the gap for that child. The more I became involved in the pro-life movement, the more I became concerned with the mothers of the children and helping them. And it's just been a labor of love, and it's been the greatest experience of my life, other than giving birth to my own daughter.
Right. Now, that's awesome. And I think I really appreciate you sharing the story and the intensity and the emotion behind the, you know, what has happened in your life. And as we begin a new year here in 2018, I'd encourage our listeners to, you know, think about what God is calling you to do. Maybe to step out of your own comfort zone. As somebody asked you a question, or have you posed a question to somebody else, especially our young people, encouraging vocations, or to at least try to discern what it is that God's calling them to do. And I praise and thank God for your awareness. I thank God for the person that asked you the question, and that you were open to receiving the messages that you got in prayer. I think if all of us, you know, would take the time to try to discern what it is that God's calling us to do, that not only will we see abortion numbers drop, but how much better the world would be if we were all doing what God wanted us to do. And I can't accuse anybody of it, because it took me a lot of years myself to figure out what it was that God was calling me to do. And I continue to try to discern, and it's not always an easy process. That's why friends are great to be able to bounce that off of, especially a spiritual director, if you can find one. But just before we go, Maria, I want to thank you for your yes to answering God's call to do the work that you're doing. I'm sure it's not the highest paying job, and we do these things because it's what brings us the most joy. And a lot of times you can't put a price tag on that. You know, like the way you were speaking about your own story, you know, you can't put a price tag on the emotion that wells up when you think about answering God's call, and the affirmation you get when you get letters like the one you got from the young lady who in Harrisburg decided not to have an abortion. And in my own line of work with ministries and dealing with the addicted, the miracles that you get to see from time to time, just like you'll see the change in heart of a woman that thinks she has to have an abortion to change in her mind to bring her baby to term. I see the same thing with people that struggle with drugs and alcohol, who think that you know, the world for them is over, that they have no future, and to see the miracle occur in their lives. So I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing the miracle story of your birth. And really, I think the miracles that are occurring that are causing the abortion rates to drop, and the gratitude we should all have for the work that you do and all those that are on the forefront of the pro-life movement, to not only save the babies, but to help these mothers in bringing their babies to term and helping them after. And I think that's the number one thing I see people throw at us when we say that we're for the babies and we want these babies to be born. And then they all ask, well, what do you do after they're born? It's like, sure, you want a poor mother to have the baby, but then what? And I think we're seeing more and more the organizations that are out there that not only try to convince the mother to have the baby, but to be there to support her after.
Oh, very definitely. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to share the wonderful work that we've been able to accomplish.
Very good. Again, my guest has been Maria Gallagher. If you want to learn more about the work that she's doing in the Pennsylvania Pro-Life organization. You can check out their website at www.paprolife.org. That's paprolife.org. Or give them a call, 717-541-0034. 717-541-0034. Thanks again, Maria, and I hope to have you back again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you so much.
All right, Maria. Take care and God bless. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to thank Maria for taking time out of her busy schedule, and I'm sure she'll be really busy ramping up for the pro-life march that's going to take place 2 weeks and 2 days from now. Again, if you haven't considered going down, maybe this is the year to give it a shot. Check your own parish or surrounding parishes. Again, if you call that the phone number that was mentioned, 717-541-0034, they can direct you to a bus in your area in order to go down. I know in my own parish we park at Catholic University, where they have the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception there, the Basilica Cathedral. Beautiful place to stop and tour while you're there. Normally, and I haven't confirmed it for this year, but normally it's been Archbishop Chaput, at least the last couple of years, that has said Mass in that cathedral on the morning of the march. So, again, from me, from Father McKay, from all of us here at In His Sign, we want to wish you a happy and healthy 2018. More importantly, a holy 2018. Let this be the year that you draw closer to God and continue to discern what it is that God's calling you to do, and maybe to encourage others to think about discerning it. I want to thank Frank, my engineer, for being here today and making sure that the broadcast gets out over the wires, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, my prayer is that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.